Thanks for listening to the Adulting is Easy podcast, where we make adulting easier by making money easier. This is your host, Lauren. I'm joined today by Vanessa Pinozzo, the Director of Operations slash co-owner at GW, that stands for Generational Wealth Capital Group of Companies. GW's mission is to create the Costco of real estate investing with a one-stop shop for investors who are looking to invest in real estate on a passive scale. In her 3+ years in the industry, Vanessa has played a key role building GW's property management from the ground up. As a post-secondary quote-unquote dropout, Vanessa shares her relatable journey, offering insights into the challenges and triumphs of working closely with family. Vanessa is all about creating a welcoming space for women in the industry to connect, invest, and succeed. Thanks for joining me, Vanessa.
Thanks for having me. That bio sounded so great. I'm used to always reading it, so it's so nice to hear it out loud once in a while. That was great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I like that you liked how I read it. I'm just going to like take that as a pure compliment to myself.
Yes, it was directed towards you for sure.
Not the things you've accomplished. So our goal for today is to make adulting easier for listeners by discussing a personal finance topic, since managing money is a big part of adulting. So today, Vanessa, we're going to talk about actually working with your family. But before we dive in, I got to know, like, why'd you drop out of post-secondary?
I dropped out of post-secondary, loaded question to start with, but I dropped out of post-secondary. I was in my third year when I did it, so I had 1 year left to go. And a lot of people around me at the time were kind of thinking, why don't you just finish it? Well, you should have 1 year left. It's just a year, like, just do it. And in my head at the time, I'd been thinking about it probably for almost a year at that point. And I, in my own head, had gotten myself a year further than I initially thought I could or initially thought I wanted to. And for me, the biggest reasoning behind it was I felt like, in this maybe a bit of a controversial answer, but I felt like what I was learning wasn't anything that I couldn't learn on my own on Google, for example. And that's definitely not applicable with every major and every career that one could choose to go to post-secondary for. But for me specifically, and what I was majoring in and what I was thinking of doing with my life, that kind of became more and more clear to me. And I thought, I'm in my third year and I still feel like this. Like, theoretically in my head, it should be getting more complicated and more, I guess, challenging, more difficult, more engaging as the years go on. And it kind of just felt very stagnant. And so I wanted something that felt challenging where I could be creative. And one of the big things lingering in my head too was, I don't want to be at a dead end. I don't want to just go from company to company finding different dead ends to max myself out at. I want to move upwards instead of just kind of plateauing again. And I use that word, but it's so true. And I wanted to be my own boss. I wanted to create something where I felt like I had control over it and I could adjust it and change it. I'm a person that likes change. And so to think about being stagnant and just moving upwards, maybe very slowly, was very unattractive to me.
I think it's admirable that you knew yourself enough to make that decision. And I think it is a really public decision in a way. I'm thinking back to, I was engaged at one point and I like called the engagement off, and it's like, everybody knows you're engaged. And
that's
like,
really big too.
Yeah. It's like a big thing. And it's like, it feels like from the outside, like shame and a failure, but it's like, mm-hmm, going through with that would have been for sure like so much worse. And I think the number of people that do things like that, that kind of halfway through or partially into something, push through these negative feelings and kind of ignore what their subconscious is telling them, I think a lot of people do that. So I think that's really admirable.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it can lead to a lot of unhappiness. And it's funny because whether, like you said, whether it's calling off an engagement, dropping out of school, quitting a job, like whatever it may be, it really isn't anybody's business but yours or the person that you're going through with. But to the public, like you said, it feels very much so like a make or break decision. Like, whoa, like you are changing the course of your life. You don't know how it's going to go after you make this decision. Like, and everybody kind of takes, like, those are two really crucial things that can happen in someone's life. And everybody around you almost kind of looks at that as an opportunity to just pounce on it and give unwanted and potentially, yep, unasked for opinions.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing, like specifically with school, you could change your mind again and go back, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I could have changed my mind and gone back with my ex.
Yeah, I was gonna say, maybe that's not as applicable with you, but yeah, for me too. And if I did, like, that's fine too, right? But when everybody first kind of hears that that's the decision you're making, it's almost like you're going to regret it. Like, and I had a few different people say that to me too. And like, almost project something that maybe happened in their life or thoughts that they've been keeping to themselves for so long. And this was like an opportunity to let it out on you. But realistically, like it has nothing to do with you. It could just be somebody else's projected thought. Then, yeah, if I want to go back, I'll go back. Like, really, it's my life. You know what I mean?
That is such a good point about projection. I think that does happen a lot. So from there, where'd you go? What'd you do?
So yeah, I'll give a bit more background on myself for sure. I obviously work in a family-run business, which is why we're talking about working with family today. So my dad, and I can kind of go into more of what I majored in post-secondary and that kind of stuff as well, but my father was a police officer for almost 2 decades or just over 2 decades. And so I grew up listening to and hearing a lot of stories about first responder type of situations that led me to major in psychology when I went to post-secondary. My mother's also in the first responder field in a lesser manner. So that was all that I grew up around. But, and where real estate and investing and whatnot and being an entrepreneur comes in is typically in Canada with police, you're supposed to do a term of 30 years. My dad retired after 21 years. So he retired early based on the choices that he made to start investing in real estate as a side hustle about a decade or so into his career. And it kind of was something that I think grew accidentally and became something that was addicting and fun and exhilarating. And you see that, oh, maybe I don't just have to subsidize my pension. Maybe I can actually turn this into a full-time thing and create passive income for myself, our family, and other people as well. And I also saw that transition in his life, and I saw what it did for our family and for him as a person in general, internally and externally. And that led me to see, I guess, that I would potentially be going down the same path as he was when he first started his career and working a blue collar life and doing that 9 to 5. And seeing the shift from that to entrepreneurship was huge for me. And obviously, being able to have an opportunity to kind of jump into our family business as opposed to sticking in school was a huge, huge blessing for sure. And I'll never downplay that at all, for sure. But so when I made that decision to drop out, we had a couple of different conversations, and I was like, I think this is something that I want to pursue seriously and work alongside you and help you grow our businesses and obviously continue to run with it, even if he does retire one day. And yeah, so that led me to where I am today. It's been about 3 years since I made that decision, which is exciting that it worked out. And yeah, that's where I am now and kind of what led me to that decision.
So I have a friend who is a firefighter, and I think he gets like, this is in the States, but he gets a full pension at 30 years, but at 20 he gets like partial. Would there have been something like that for your father? Like, did he get some pension out of that?
I believe so, yes. Yeah, I don't know the exact details or numbers, but yes, I believe there was some sort of pension that he was given. It just obviously wasn't that full that you would get at the end of your, let's say, 30-year term.
So an courageous decision preceded yours to leave school. Your dad sort of did it first.
Yeah, he did it first, for sure. He definitely laid the road out there. And he neither of us went to school for business, obviously. As you can see, I told everybody what I went to school for, and he went to school for police college. So it wasn't something that was generations and generations and was just kind of expected of everybody to fall into. It kind of, like I said, he started investing as a side hustle to make adulting easier and to, make managing money easier. And obviously, when you see what that can do for you, it just becomes something that you want to make a lifestyle and something that you want to do full time. And I was always so stubborn when I was younger, thinking, no, I have to do it on my own. I have to carve my own path and do my own thing. And I don't want to work with you. And obviously, I semi told you so's later. I'm very glad that I made the decision that I did.
Okay, so tell us about the family business.
So our family business is a real estate investment firm based out of Hamilton, Ontario. So for anybody in the States that may not know exactly, just think Toronto, general GTA in Ontario. And essentially what we look to do is make adulting easier for a lot of people. And I really was drawn to this podcast mostly because of the name, but also the quality of the episodes as well. But it's so true. And so essentially what we do is with our real estate investing firm, we have three groups of companies that kind of operate under one big organization that is Generational Wealth. And what we do is we purchase value add apartment buildings in the West GTA core of Ontario. So anything that's 5 units to 50 units, everything in between that needs work, has some value add to it, where we can really force that appreciation is huge. For anybody who knows, we specialize in the BRRRR strategy. So the buy, renovate, refinance, rent, repeat strategy. That's what we've been doing for just about 13 years at this point, in total. And we started with smaller properties, triplexes, fourplexes, and then kind of built our way up over the years, over the decades at this point. And with respect to making adulting easier, we look for people who want to invest but would like to do it on a passive scale. So we purchase these properties in joint venture partnership with people who have some capital but don't really know where to put it, what to do with it, how to do it on their own. And so we create, like you mentioned at the start, that one-stop shop Costco effect, where we'll do everything from finding the property, being licensed realtors, to doing the construction on our value-add projects in-house. So we don't sub out to third-party GCs or anything like that. We have our own construction company. And last but not least, within our whole Costco realm, is property management. So that's pretty self-explanatory, obviously. And essentially, the goal was to create a place where people can come and park their money in a real estate investment in partnership with us, while still being able to live their everyday lives, doing their, even if they have a 9 to 5, although obviously a lot of them are entrepreneurs in some fashion. And we take care of everything else, being the active partner. And yeah, in a nutshell, that's what we do. Obviously, there's some nitty-gritty there, but yeah, that's an overview.
So we heard in your bio that you built out the property management side of things. Is that, or do you still kind of head that company? And what's your father's role?
So yes, that was a big piece of my role for sure over the last couple of years. It just was more something that we thought to ourselves, why would we continue to outsource this as opposed to bringing it in-house as well? And there's still different layers and levels to grow and add on to, but that was a big project. That was a fun one for sure. And at this point, no, I don't run the day-to-day, although I oversee it as a whole, which is awesome. So being able to have a group of staff that's very capable and dedicated and intelligent in this space is crucial. And it's been such a journey, obviously finding the right people for the right places, as I'm sure a lot of business owners can relate to. But yeah, we're at a point now where I don't have to manage the day-to-day. So to kind of segue into the second part of that question, my father and I kind of share somewhat of a similar role now, as he's looking to potentially get a place in Florida and kind of start that next part of his life. But we manage the sales part of our team for the most part. So being able to go and have boots on the ground and find the right properties, as well as obviously meeting with clients and looking for new individuals that may want to come into our space. So primarily, in a nutshell, I would say sales as a whole and communication with existing new partners, underwriting our deals and that na things of that nature.
The fun part, in my opinion.
Yes, the fun part for sure. It's always so fun getting to meet new people, see the potential in new projects. That's the best part.
So, have you and your dad had any conflicts over the years?
No, I'm kidding. Of course we have. Yes, no, of course we have. There's definitely been some conflicts for sure. I think those are natural, and I think those are, like, it's undeniable that that's going to happen. And I think the longer that we work together, the better that we deal with them, and the better we deal with each other too, which is really nice. Because kind of at the start, when you're learning how to work with a family member, it can be very daunting and kind of overwhelming to have that separation between your role, let's say, in the office and your role outside of the office. But yeah, I would say there's a little more conflict at the onset of starting to work with a family member, as opposed to kind of when you're in the thick of it years in.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think working with family, it seems like there would be a pro in the sense that like there's an implicit trust there. It's probably easier to assume positive intent coming from them. On the negative side of things, like if you do have conflict, like we just had the Super Bowl, right? Like,
Yes.
do you just go hang out on Super Bowl Sunday after you had a blow up at 4 p.m. on Friday? Like, how does that work, you know?
I think like you were saying, you have to, like, if there's a Super Bowl on, then you have to separate what's going on at work for sure. And just in general, like on a day-to-day basis, being able to learn each other's personalities as individuals and let's say a businesswoman or businessman at work is honestly a totally different side of the person than you see when you're at home. And that's nice, in my opinion, because it's not like there's, of course, there's gray areas, but in a general gist of things, we don't, you know, talk to each other at work as if we're father and daughter. We don't act like that. We don't call each other by anything other than our first name. So we keep it very distinctive in that sense. And I think that really helps. And being able to separate the feelings that come with it. If there's an annoyance, like you mentioned, when you're at work, then being able to try and resolve that while you're still in that situation is crucial, because obviously otherwise everybody's human. Like, you can mentally have that distinction all you want, but if you don't do the work to like step outside the door and be like, okay, we'll deal with this on Monday, let's just say, then of course it's going to affect your familial relationship.
Does anybody else in your family work for you guys?
No. My mother used to on a, you know, part-time basis, kind of here and there wherever we needed help. But no, for the most part, 95% of the time, it's the two of us.
So do you have siblings?
I don't.
Okay. Because I was wondering, so this makes, I think, like the estate planning, the succession planning, very straightforward. Was his, it's going to you. That's pretty clear. I was wondering if you have siblings and stuff, like what if they aren't into it, but like then what happens on that side of it? Possibly I'm actually projecting, like we were talking about earlier, my own situation.
Yes.
I'm also imagining calling my dad by his first name. Like that would be so weird.
It was very weird. The first week I definitely slipped up a couple times, and I find that anybody new that starts with our team will slip up a couple times too. And it's not the end of the world. It's just that professionalism we try to keep. But what you were saying, when you kind of got into the conflicts and stuff of working with family about having the pros with respect to having that implicit trust there, I wanted to touch on that because it's very true. And especially when you get into business and the entrepreneurship world, having a mentor, whether you're working with family or not, is super important. Whether it's a coach or just somebody that's going to take you under their wing, it's super important. And even when you build a relationship with that person, I feel like there's still a level of, oh, maybe this is a stupid question. Maybe I shouldn't ask that. Or maybe I should kind of hold back or bite my tongue a bit. Whereas obviously working with my dad, it's been great because that's obviously a built-in mentor that I can lean on and that I can ask any question in the book to. And even if he may tell me it's a bit of a dumb question, at least I still got to get it out without feeling like, oh, maybe I should just, I don't know how they're going to take that.
And there's some of it too, I guess it's like, he raised you. And it's like, so if you have a question, like in some ways it's his fault that he didn't like teach you that when you were younger.
You know what? I want him to listen to this episode specifically for what you just said. Specifically for what you just said. I'm going to tell him that. So yes, I agree. I selfishly agree.
I'm just thinking about the arguments I would use for that. So I have never worked with a super close family member. A company I worked for 7 years, for about three of them, my cousin, we had hired my cousin. It was funny that the job was like, all right, how do we get more of you? Like, I was like, well, I have a cousin. They're like, okay, we'll hire him. And so I worked with him for like 3 years, and we did have like we would have fights as cousins sometimes, like usually about sports arguments or something. And yeah, it like wouldn't, and we wouldn't let it spill into the office. And then if there was stuff going on at work, like occasionally we would talk about it when we were like doing cousin stuff, but like not with any animosity. And then my husband hired our sister-in-law, my brother's wife, and he hired his cousin as well, I think sort of as a result of him seeing it work with me and my cousin. So I just wanted you to know, we do have some experience with some of that. And I think if you have a strong familial relationship, it's almost like if you just decide that it's going to work, it's going to work. You will figure out
100%.
How to make it work.
100%. Yeah, it's honestly like, I feel like a lot of times people use examples when they're talking about romantic relationships in the sense of like, you know, you just have to work together and you have to be a team and all this stuff. But it's so true in any type of relationship, especially when there's two that are overlapping, which is obviously family and a business relationship, like being business partners on a sense. And yeah, like, I mean, you really just, there's obviously going to be tough days, but that doesn't mean that you just get to say, okay, well, I quit. I'm not coming in the next day. Like, you know, you started it for a reason. And I think when you both get into it, you know that that's what's coming. Like, it would have been very naive of me to think, oh, I'm just gonna, be daddy's little girl my whole life while I work in this business. Like, that's not the case. And I wouldn't want that either, because that doesn't benefit anybody, nor does it create, obviously, a positive image. So I think knowing what you're getting into is huge. And yeah, just having that like resilience mindset with it. Like, you don't just decide one day you're gonna, break up an engagement without thinking about it first and without putting that thought process into it. The same way I didn't drop out and decide to work with my dad without actually thinking, okay, how is this gonna look on like a day-to-day, year-to-year basis?
Absolutely. So, looking forward, do you want to have kids?
I do.
What's the plan there? Like, what if they don't want to like take this on?
You know what? I think I would be okay with that. And my reason for that is because before I started working with my dad, I think I briefly touched on this maybe a couple minutes ago, but before I went to post-secondary, even, in my early teens, he was like, I want you to work with me. You're going to love it. Like, let's do it. Like, you don't need to go to school. He told me that from the start. And it was me, like I said, I was stubborn that said, no, I don't want to. I want to carve my own path. And so for me, when I'm raising my children, my plan would just be to not, I guess, go that approach in the first place and just kind of, expose them to what I do. And if they're interested in it, then sure. But if they're not, then like, I can't force it, right? Like, I saw how unhappy I was when I tried to force myself to stay in a program that wasn't right for me. So I would never want them to feel the same way. And let's say I'm the reason why. If that makes sense. And obviously the great thing about being a business owner is that at one point you can structure your business in a sense that even if your children don't want to take it over, you can find a way to step back and find the best person to take on that role. Because also too, if they don't want to do it and you're forcing them into it and putting them into it to take it over, they're not going to do as good of a job necessarily as somebody who really wants that position. And that could be like life-changing for them to have that opportunity.
So speaking of business structure, well, like, are you like 50% owner, or does like how does that work?
I guess it's a bit not necessarily gray, but because we have three different companies,
Right.
it's they're all, incorporated differently just for legal purposes. So they're all structured in a different sense. But when it comes to making, I guess, day-to-day decisions, I would say we're pretty even on that regard. And there's certain areas, like little intricacies, like who takes care of all of the hiring and makes those decisions, and who takes care of, whatever it may be, stuff that has to do with more of our construction side of things. We each have different kind of roles and responsibilities, but I would say for the most part, there is that 50-50 level of trust there, where it's like, okay, we both want to be, making the same decisions and agreeing on the same stuff. Obviously, in the background, there's different structures for each particular company that we have in place, but yeah.
How does your salary work? Like, do you have to negotiate it with your dad?
So he, I mean, negotiate's an interesting word, to be honest. It's definitely more of a conversation piece, and I think if I wasn't a licensed realtor, there would be more of a conversation as to what does that structure look like going up. But obviously, being a licensed realtor, that's primarily what I'm obviously making. Not obviously it's commission, but let's say in general, making a living off of. And then obviously, different parts of businesses are in business to make profit, obviously. So there's a bunch of different components that for us, the salary piece hasn't really ever been an issue, to be honest, which has been really nice. Maybe if it wasn't, there wasn't that commission layer to our business, and we're both licensed realtors, so we both take on different projects and deals and stuff like that, then I think the salary piece would be a bigger and a different conversation. But I guess I'm lucky in that regard. Nobody's actually ever asked me that question. So putting it into perspective like that, I definitely am lucky that there's a commission piece to it as well, which I think definitely makes the whole thing easier, like I said.
Okay, that makes sense. So do you have a significant other?
I do, but I'm not married.
What does he think? I know it's a he because you told me before we started recording. What does he think about like this whole thing? Like, at what point did you like, did he just know? Like, yeah, I work with my dad. Look, how did that all go?
Was really funny because obviously being an only child, I didn't have any siblings to talk to necessarily when I was in the process of making that decision as to whether or not I was going to drop out and all that kind of stuff. And of course, my parents weren't the first ones I told. Like, I was still a younger, let's say, teen at that point, even though I was in like my very early 20s. like you still get nervous, and especially because I knew I was going to go work with one of my parents, I wanted to make sure that before I was like, oh my God, I want to drop out, that I really had made a sound decision there and thought about it and talked it through. And obviously I spoke with friends about it as well, but it was a very different conversation with my significant other that I was with at the time too. And he was very supportive about it. And I think he kind of brought it out of me because I was still a little unsure in the sense of like, do I really think I can do this? Like, do I really know what I'm getting into? And I think having had been with me for a couple of years already at that point, he was like, yes, like you can do it. Like, just say it out loud. Because a lot of times it'd be like, I give little snippets here and there, but I didn't have that full confidence yet to be like, yeah, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna kill it and I'm ready to tell my dad and like, let's do it. So he was the one that kind of pulled it out of me and was like, no, like you can do it. It's okay to say that you want more out of life. Like it's okay to say that you want to do this. So he was very supportive of it, which was awesome, obviously. And being able to like bounce those ideas off of him and go through that whole process has definitely been a journey because you started by saying it was great that I knew myself so well at the time to make that decision. And I thought I did, but like, what I've learned now, I can see that like I barely even knew myself back then. And making this decision obviously led to me coming to know myself in like a whole different way.
What did your dad say when you told him?
He said, I don't want to say I told you so.
Which is saying I told you so.
yes, I'm like, just say it. Remove the first part of this. Like, you're saying the same thing at the end of the day. Like, I know what you're getting at. So he was like, yeah, I don't want to say I told you so, but I think he was surprised, to be honest, because for the couple of years that I was in school or even before I went to school, it was so used to hearing me say, no, I don't want to do this. I'm not interested. Like, stop asking about it. And so I think he was more so kind of surprised and obviously like just curious, like what led to this. But obviously, like I think overall, I don't think I know it made him very happy, but it was something that once I think he kind of processed it, he was like, okay, well, like you can try, but like you really have to take it seriously. Like this isn't a 9 to 5. This isn't something where you can just like come in and, you know, like play on social media, for example, while you're in your office. Like you really have to give this an honest effort. Because it looks pretty from the outside, but like, what are you going to think when you actually, you know, put your blood, sweat, and tears into it? So it was a mix of emotions, but overall, those were the main points.
So overall, do you recommend going to work with your parents?
Yes. I would say yes.
I could tell. I just wanted you to say it. This has been a
Yes,
very,
I
this
would
is a
say
very
yes.
positive, like you've had a very positive experience. And I think some people, they draw lines in the sand. I see this on social media all the time, like do not rent to a family member, like if you're a landlord. Like don't rent to your family member, don't rent to a
Yeah.
friend. Don't sell this. Don't do that. Like I just don't think it's black and white. And I don't think that people should rule out working with family as just like this carte blanche rule.
I agree 100%. Like, I think, and that's so true. Like, even just applying it, obviously, being in the rental industry as well, like, it's true. You see that all the time. Like, and I think it depends, like you started by saying, on your relationship with the family member and your level of commitment. Like, obviously, it's gone great for me, but that's not to say it's going to go great for everybody. Like, I think really making that sound decision and why are you doing it? Like, do you really think that you can make that distinction between being able to have a familial relationship and being able to have a business relationship? And if you're confident in that, like, I think this, I was confident in that before I got into it, but I think this is boosted my maturity level and my professionalism and my communication skills so much higher than is to if I wasn't working with my family. Like it teaches you things about yourself and about communication and business that I don't think you can get elsewhere, to be honest, because it's a totally different type of relationship. Like if you're not related to, let's say, your boss, quote unquote.
Yeah, you learn about yourself and you learn about them.
100%. And I knew that I obviously like respected what my dad had built, but it's definitely brought a whole new level of like respect just for like the dedication. You really obviously see that when you're working side by side and like the growth that we've been able to achieve together. Like it's nice to know that you're both working towards the same goal and you both want the same outcome. It definitely, I think, makes us respect each other more, which is nice because again, like a lot of people talk about respect in a romantic relationship or in a friendship, but being able, I feel like at one point, regardless if you work with family or not, you kind of grow out of that like parent to child relationship, and you have to just respect each other as people at the end of the day and get along with each other for who you are, as opposed to just because you have to.
Is there anything else you want to add before you wrap up?
No, I think that was a really great note to end on there. That kind of summarizes working with family, I think.
I agree. So, can you tell people where they can find you and get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So my social medias are all my first and last name. So Vanessa Pinozzo, which I'm sure the spelling will be somewhere. Our company's name is Generational Wealth Inc. Our website is generationalwealthcreators.ca. And I think that's it. Generational Wealth, my first and last name, and you'll be able to find us.
Yep, that'll all be in the show notes. You guys, you can follow me on Twitter, X at Adulting is Easy, Instagram at Adulting is Easy Real. This is on YouTube as well at Adulting is Easy. If you like this episode, you'll also like episode 160, Turning Real Estate into More Businesses, in which Josh tells us about how he and his partner Antoinette work together. Thanks again for listening, everybody. Hopefully, Vanessa and I have made adulting a little easier for you.